First Peter chapter 5, the verse the Lord has directed me to for the meeting tonight is verse 7. A very well known verse in this chapter. Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It's not the first time, I'm sure, that we have heard someone say, I am a terrible worrier. Perhaps we have said it ourselves. Perhaps we have said, I just cannot help worrying about things. As the Lord's sheep, of course, we have all been worried about something or another at some time or another. And of course, we know in this world there are many sheep worriers. Remember when I was ministering in Newton Abbey, a woman told me once, she said that she worries because she has nothing to worry about. When she has nothing to worry about, she gets worried. Now maybe we're not just as bad as that. But nevertheless, we have been worried at times. And maybe there's someone that's come to this very meeting tonight and you have something that's lying heavy upon your mind. There's some burden upon your heart tonight as you come to this prayer meeting. Something that's giving you great cause for concern. There are some people that we read about in Scripture were great worriers. You turn, please, to Genesis. Genesis chapter 32. Jacob was a man who worried. Genesis 32, verse 6. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Look at verse 7. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He was worried. And he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and herds and camels into two bands. He was what? He was greatly afraid and distressed. Jacob was worried about meeting with his brother Esau. David was a man given to worry also. He worried about Saul because of the threats that Saul had made upon David's life. We read in 1 Samuel 20 verse 3, there is but a step between me and death, David said. David wasn't going to die at that time. The Lord had anointed him king. He had to rule Israel. He wouldn't die for many years, and yet David was worried. It is evident that there were some believers in the church at Philippi who were worriers. Remember what Paul said to them in Philippians 4 verse 6, be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care. Don't worry. He was telling them, don't be full of care. You know, whenever troubles come, it's all right. It's all right, people saying to us, oh, don't worry about it. That's what people tend to do, isn't it? Oh, don't worry about it. But how do you get to that place? How do you get to that point where you don't worry at all about those things that have troubled you? We know that our trust and faith is in a sovereign God, and he works out all things after the counsel of his will and for our good and for his glory. So why worry? It's all right saying that, isn't it? But it's getting to that place. Because you see, when people worry about something, they're tempted to take things into their own hands in an attempt to solve the problems they have themselves. That's what Jacob did. He divided up his company. He was organizing things. He didn't know what Esau would do. He didn't know what Esau would say. And he took things into his own hands. And when people worry, they do the strangest things. We mentioned David. David was worried about Saul. And one day, to disguise himself, he feigned madness. He pretended he was mad. And it was all because of worry. Jacob took things into his own hands, and David behaved in a most strange way. So what do we do when we find ourselves at that place that someone has called Wits End Corner? What do we do? Well, Peter tells us what to do. Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And here in this verse of scripture we have Christ commended to us. Here's the commended Christ. Peter commends Jesus Christ to us. Whenever we have something that gives us great concern, causes us to worry, Peter here commends Christ to us. Casting all your care upon him. First of all, we have here the problems. Peter didn't speak about one problem. He said, casting all your care upon him. And contrary to what some people think and what others might say, God's people will not get through this life without problems and difficulties. We all will have our problems and our difficulties. And this is especially true of those who are engaged in the work of God. We read in 2 Corinthians. You turn to 2 Corinthians. There in 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. We're familiar with these verses. Verse 23 begins, are they ministers of Christ? I am more. And he lists the things that he has suffered as a minister of Jesus Christ. And we read on down, we come to verse 28. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul had the care of all the churches. It is the same word that we have in 1 Peter 5 verse 7, casting all your care upon him. It's the same word in 2 Corinthians 11, 28. And the word means to be distracted. The word means to be divided. Paul was brought to the place of distraction with having the care of all the churches. He was being pulled apart, as it were, pulled this way and that way. There were problems in Corinth. Not to mention the difficulties that existed between some of the saints in Philippi. And there were matters for concern in Ephesus and Colossae and Thessalonica. Paul was distracted, having the care of all the churches. And no wonder is there anyone here tonight, and you've been there, you've been to that place, maybe that's where you are tonight, and you're saying and have said in your own heart, my problems, my troubles, my cares are driving me to destruction. I'm being pulled this way and that way. Have we not lain awake at night wondering what the morning will bring? We've been distracted. And it may not be so bad if we just had one problem to contend with, but here Peter says, casting all your care. Here it may be financial, there it may be family, there the problem may exist with friends, and we're distracted, and we don't know what to do. Peter tells us what to do. Cast all your care on him. There it is. Take your problems and cast them all on Christ. Those things that distract us, those things that are on your mind tonight, cast them on Christ. There you have the practice. He speaks about casting our care upon the Lord. The word means to hurl. Though you would have something in your hand and you would just hurl it from you. The same word is found in Luke 19, verse 35, where the Lord Jesus was about to ride in the colt of an ass into Jerusalem. And the disciples took off their outer garments, and we're told that they cast them. They cast them onto the back of that beast of burden. They hurled those garments from them and led them upon the back of that beast of burden. Now, to do that obviously took some effort. But that's what they did. And here's Peter, and he's telling us to do the same thing with our problems. He's telling us to hurl those problems from us. He's telling us to hurl, as it were, those problems upon Christ. Put them from you. That's one of the problems we have, isn't it, in itself? We go to the place of prayer, and you say, I must pray about this matter. I must bring this matter before the Lord. And we get down on our knees with our burden, and we pray about it, and we get up off our knees, and we're still carrying the burden. And we go home, and we start to worry, just as we worried before the prayer meeting. Peter says, no, don't do that. Peter says, cast your burden from you, as the disciples cast their outer garments upon that colt of an ass. Sometimes we can't let go of our burdens. Sometimes we can't let go of our problems. This is what Peter's about. Peter is saying, cast them from you. And sometimes our burdens get on top of us. But what did the disciples do with their garments? They placed them on the back of the colt of an ass, and then they set Christ on top of their garments. Christ was on top of those things that they hurled from them. And so it is with our problems. There are those times when our problems get on top of us, but they'll never get on top of Christ. Christ is always on top of our problems. Just as he was on top of the garments that the disciples laid upon the back of the colt of an ass. And dear child of God, your problems may get on top of you, but remember this, whatever your problem is, Christ is always on top of it. And then you have the person. Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This, of course, could only mean one person. Casting all your care upon him. He's speaking about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great burden bearer. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. And Jesus is very near. He's the great bearer of burdens. The problems and cares which Peter spoke about here, you can see where they led him. They led him to Christ. That's the way it should be. Did the Lord Jesus not say himself, "Come"? Did he not invite us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden"? He's speaking to those who were heavy laden with burdens and cares and worries and problems, and the Savior says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." My, when we have our problems and our burdens, don't we long for that? Don't we long for that rest and that peace of mind? The psalmist has said, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. And you look through the Gospels and note the number of people who had problems and difficulties, and their burdens led them to Jesus Christ. Where did Jairus go? When his only daughter was dying, he went to Christ. Where was the man who was sick of the palsy taken? He was taken to Christ. Where did the father go with his lunatic son? He went to Jesus Christ. Where did the Syrophoenician woman go regarding her wayward daughter? She went to Christ. Isn't that what the Lord said? He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." There was a father who was heavy laden, burdened about his son. He went to Jesus. There was a mother who was burdened about her daughter. She went to Jesus. The lepers, the blind, the dumb, the lame, the halt, the dying, they all went to Christ. And Peter exhorts us to do the same thing, casting all your care upon him. Go to Christ. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to come. And my, if we could have an interview with Jairus tonight, if we could have Jairus stand up in this meeting and have him address this meeting, you know what Jairus would say? Jairus would tell us, "Cast all thy burdens upon the Lord." If we could have an interview tonight with blind Bartimaeus, who received his sight, Bartimaeus would tell us, "Brothers and sisters, cast all your care upon him." That's what he would tell us. And my, if we could speak to Legion, the demoniac of Gadara, whom God delivered and saved and clothed and gave him peace of mind. My, if we could speak to Legion tonight, he would say the same thing. He would say, "Brother, cast all your care upon the Lord." That's what I think. So I would say tonight, is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, its burden bearing. All your anxiety, leave it there. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat. Leave it there, never a burden. He cannot share, never a friend. Like Jesus. This is the Christ we worship. This is the Christ we love. He's the one who's ready to take all our anxieties and all our cares and all our problems and all our burdens. He says, come. Peter says, casting all your care upon him. Peter here also speaks about a capable Christ. Since Peter commends Christ to us, then he must know that Christ is able to bear all the burdens that we cast on him. The Lord is able. He must be. Now what Peter says, cast all your cares. And he's not just saying that to one person. He's saying that to one and all. He's saying that to every one of us tonight. We have come into this prayer meeting. And maybe you have a burden upon your heart. A burden that seems to get heavier by the day. And the person beside you has a burden as well. And the person behind you and the person in front of you. The Lord can take them all. The Lord can take every burden. We look at the proof of it. Here are cares too numerous to mention. Here are burdens too heavy to bear. Here are troubles that will drive us to distraction. Can anyone take this heavy load and bear it instead of me? Yes, there is. There's one. His name is Jesus Christ. He'll bear the burden instead of you. He'll carry it instead of you. He will. Doesn't matter how heavy it is. He's able to carry it. And if we doubt his capability to carry our burdens, then, dear Christian, we have only to look this night to the cross. We've only to look to Calvary. Because there on Calvary's center tree, the Lord Jesus bore a load so heavy that it almost crushed him. But bless his name, he still carried it. He was still able to carry it. And there the burden was placed upon him, a burden so enormous, so great, so heavy, that no one else was capable of bearing its awful weight. What was that burden? Isaiah tells us, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And there is no burden heavier than the burden of sin. And the Lord Jesus did not fail to take away that load of sin and guilt from us. And there at Calvary, the Savior bore the load and the weight and the burden of all the sins of his elect. What a weight that was. But bless his name, he was able to bear it. Christ was able to bear the burden of your sin. Praise his name, he's able to bear any burden you have here tonight. He took away your sin. And glory to God, since Christ has taken away that burden, the burden of our sin, one burden we don't have to carry anymore. We can say tonight with Anne Ross, cousin, O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head, our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. A victim led, thy blood was shed, now there's no load for me. And if he did that with our sin, what can he not do with our day-to-day problems? Oh, he's capable, all right. If he was able to bear the heaviest burden that was ever placed on man, then he's able to bear whatever burdens we cast upon him tonight. For we will never carry a heavier burden than the one that Christ carried at Calvary. Then you have his power. Look at the words of the previous verse. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. Oh, you can cast your burdens tonight into the mighty hand of God. As Dr. Paisley often says, we're not dealing with a pygmy God. We're not dealing with a little God. We're not dealing with the God that is the God of the world and man's imagination. Man thinks that God is some kind of old character like a Father Christmas, with a long white beard that hardly knows what to do or hardly knows what he's doing. It's the devil's God. Our God is the God of this book. Our God is the God of this Bible. Our God is the God who has a mighty hand and a mighty arm. Because he is a mighty God. Now what Isaiah said, he's wonderful. He's counselor. He's the mighty God. So why then, believer, would we hold back from casting all our care upon him? Jacob took things into his own hands. David took things into his own hands. Didn't do too well, did they? Far better to put our cares and our burdens into the hand of the Almighty. It's who we're dealing with tonight. The Lord God this. Cast all your problems upon Christ and into his mighty hand, and he'll do a far better job solving those problems than we will. Far better. Not only when we look at his capabilities do we see the proof of it and the power of it, but the peace. How often when we have been engulfed by worry have we been longing for the day we would have peace and be free from worry. You've longed after that, longed to be free from worry. Well, you can be. Casting all your care upon him. Your care, your worry, your burdens, your problems, cast them all upon Christ. We have nothing to be careful or full of care about if we have placed everything in the hand of God. Will God not do a better job than we will? So why are we worrying? Turn, please, to that well-known passage in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And there we read in verse 6. Might read verse 5. Let your moderation, Philippians 4 and 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That's not a reference to the Lord's imminent return. Because those words may be rendered, the Lord is even at thy elbow. The words refer to Christ standing right beside us, right at our elbow. Then Paul says, be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God and the peace of God. There it is. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God will keep your hearts and minds. Paul there speaks about the work of God in the heart. Shall keep. The word keep there means to watch. The word means to keep ward. The word means to guard. Isn't that interesting? Keep your hearts and minds. And isn't that where the problem lies? It's up here. You go to bed at night and you have something on your mind, you have a problem there. And you lie awake and you think. Think and you think and you say, what if this happens, or what if that happens, or what if this happens, and your mind just runs wild. You hardly sleep all night. Paul says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep. Stand guard. Keep your thoughts from wandering. Keep your thoughts from running wild. That's the work of God in the heart and in the mind. And when we worry, we can ask the Lord, Lord, keep my mind. Keep my heart. Do a work in my mind and in my heart. Turn, please, to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. And the Lord Jesus deals with this very matter. The Lord himself addressed this problem during the sermon, ministering on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. And there in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto thee that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. See what the Lord's dealing with. He's dealing with the thought. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought? Verse 28, and why take ye thought? Verse 31, and therefore take no thought. Verse 34, take therefore no thought. Because the Lord knew what the problem was. He knew how his people were afflicted and how their thoughts would run wild. And they become even more annoyed and more anxious. The word thought there means that very thing. Over anxious, very careful, full of care. So now we see that not only does the work of the Lord in our hearts give us peace, but we have here the word of the Lord. As the Lord tells us not to be anxious, then ought we not to take him at his word? Can we not rest on his word? This is better than having our friends tell us, don't worry. Better having Christ tell us, don't worry. And our friends tell us. Christ knows what our need is. Christ is able to meet the need. He's able to solve the problem. He's able to carry the burden. Turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28 and verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. They were saying to the soldiers, we'll secure you. In other words, they were saying, don't worry. We'll take care of business. Don't worry. Don't be full of care. Don't be anxious. It's the same word we have in our text. Casting all your care upon him. Don't be full of care. But these were the ungodly saying, don't worry. But here tonight the Savior is saying, don't worry. That's better still. And then finally we have the caring Christ. Here Peter gives us a good reason for casting all our care upon him. For or because he careth for you. What sweet words they are. He careth for you. Maybe we have at times said with David, and we're really down, defeated and beaten. No man careth for my soul. But it's not true. Jesus cares. He careth for you. And he careth for us personally. Look at what Peter wrote. He careth for you. Why should we be anxious? Why should we worry? Are we not under the personal care of the Lord Jesus Christ? You remember when the Lord Jesus told his disciples to get into the ship to go over to the other side. They were going over to Gadara. They were crossing over the Sea of Galilee. And they got into the ship. Now mark the words. He told his disciples to get into the ship, to go over to the other side. And in the meantime, this great storm arose. And the disciples were fighting hard against the storm, keeping the boat afloat. And there was the Savior, fast asleep. There's the peace of God. it passeth all understanding. The disciples couldn't understand it, but that was the peace of God. The Savior's asleep on a pillow, and what did those disciples say? Can you believe what they said? Master, carest thou not that we perish? What a terrible thing to say. Because nobody cared for those disciples as Christ cared for them. And yet they said, Master, carest thou not? That would have hurt the Savior. And then you remember that day the Savior went into that house in Bethany. Martha welcomed him in and began to provide a meal along with Mary. And then Mary left Martha and went and sat at the Savior's feet. And then Martha came complaining and said to the Master, Master, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? And once again, nobody cared for Martha more than Jesus Christ. The first time those words were uttered was in a storm. Sometimes we find ourselves in the storms of life, and we look all around us and it's as if the Lord's asleep and doesn't know a thing about our troubles. We're tempted to say, Master, carest thou not? And when, like Martha, we find ourselves serving alone, and we look all around us for help and there's nobody there, we think maybe the Lord doesn't care. He sees, doesn't see me laboring away by myself. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. What did the Lord say to Martha, or about Martha and Mary and Lazarus in John 11 verse 5? It says there, Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Was that not enough? Was it not enough for Martha to know the Lord Jesus loved her? And believer, when we go through the storms and we serve alone, don't say, Master, carest thou not? But rather, consider how he loves you. And if he loves you, and he does, will he not care for you? He will. Is knowing that Jesus Christ loves you, is that not enough? John 10 verse 13, the Savior said, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Our Savior's not a hireling. Our Savior is the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd gave his life for the sheep. And John 10:14 says, I am the Good Shepherd and know my sheep. Christ knows his sheep. Is the Good Shepherd. He knows all about his sheep. There's nothing he doesn't know. And you sit here tonight, you may have a burden
and a care in your heart that nobody knows about. You dare not breathe it, and you carry that burden alone. Listen, Jesus knows. He's the good shepherd, and he knows everything about his sheep. And when you think nobody else knows and you worry alone, remember this: Jesus knows. Yes, he cares for us personally, and he cares for us primarily. That is, he cares for us above all others. He attends to the needs of the oxen that tread out the corn. He attends to the needs of the ravens which cry. He attends to the needs of the sparrows that fly. And the sun shines upon the unjust as well as the just, but nobody cares for us like Christ. And Jesus Christ cares for his people. He cares for his church. He loves his church like he loves nobody else. Isn't that just wonderful? To know that we have such a Savior. We're as dear to his heart as anybody can be. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. David was one who had experienced this worry. He experienced it all firsthand, but then he also experienced how the Lord's care of him. And this is what he wrote. He says, I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. Hallelujah. Nor his seed begging bread. Not once. We could say amen to David's words. We have never seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread. That's how he cares for us. Personally and primarily and presently. According to the words of our text, the Lord is taking care of us right now. He has in the past, is now, and will in the future. So why worry? He's a very present help in time of trouble. He doesn't just take care of us when we're in trouble. He takes care of us when we reckon we're not in trouble. And the point is this: if he didn't take care of us, we'd be in trouble all the time. It's the Savior, the Good Shepherd, that keeps us out of trouble. He's caring for us all the time. We're always in his hand. We're always on his mind. We're always on his heart. He's always thinking about it. He's always thinking about us. And with this I'll close. Turn to Psalm 139. What a verse this is. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 17. David says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. And David says the Lord's thoughts towards him personally He says their thoughts are more than can be numbered. That's how much the Savior thinks about us. And then David says, when I awake, I'm still with thee. And believer, when you waken up tomorrow morning, be aware of this, be conscious of this. Christ is thinking about you. And David says, how precious are those thoughts. And when someone comes to us in our loneliness and says, brother or sister, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you, my, that's precious to us. The hymn that has become very precious to me was in a set of tapes I had, I took with me when my wife and I and family went to Canada, and moving over there and leaving friends and family behind, I never felt as lonely in my life. And I remember putting on a tape. It was a message by the late Pastor Willie Mullen. I listened to the message, and then his congregation sang a closing hymn, and this is what they sang: amid the trials which I meet, amid the thorns that pierce my feet, one thought remains supremely sweet: thou thinkest, Lord. The cares of life come thronging fast, upon my soul their shadows cast. Their gloom reminds my heart at last, thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Let shadows come, let shadows go. Let life be bright or dark with woe. I am content, for this I know. I think.